some 50-odd years. We'd all seen a few rough days, but I never dreamed I'd watch it all get swept away.
When you're listening to The Storm Breaks, part of WGXC's After the Flood series, recounting what happened when Hurricane Irene became Tropical Storm Irene and barreled through the Catskills starting Saturday, August 27, 2011. Began as a tropical storm in our area, but still what packed a wallop. Get ground saturated from weeks of rain, as much as 20 inches of rain fell overnight and into Sunday, August 28th, and a flood nearly wiped the town of Prattsville off the map. Other floods came through Hunter, Windham, and other areas in Greene and Schoharie, Delaware, Ulster, and other counties in central New York. Only a few people died, but many faced death, and many more faced enormous losses. A few days later, Tropical Storm Lee inflicted even more damage in the area. WGXC is covering the anniversary of the floods, a series of special reports, interviews, features, live events, and other programming. Tune in to WGXC all this week for a recounting of what happened and what will happen next time. This is The Storm Breaks. WGXC is recounting its pre-storm interviews with Greene County Emergency Services Director John Farrell, with Copaic Town Supervisor Reggie Crowley, and our first reports as the storm broke on Saturday, August 27th.
Mother for you. She told me that you was too young. Now I wish, dear Lord, never seen your face. I'm sorry that you've ever been born. My dream.
But first, we have on the line John Farrell, the director of the Greene County Emergency Operations and Training Center in Cairo.
Well, what we have done over the last couple of days, we have taken the time to reach out to our fire companies and EMS agencies, making sure that they're well prepared and ready to respond to whatever the calls that may come in starting on Sunday. We've also reached out to the elected officials of the towns and villages, along with the highway superintendents, to see if there was any needs that they may need, and also to let all those agencies know that on Sunday morning at 8 o'clock, we will be going into our emergency operations center, where we'll be bringing in our key people of the county, the different agencies, and we'll be sitting in our center for the entire day to be ready to assist any town or village, fire department, whatever the case may be, whatever the situation may happen, to be able to take care of what their needs are.
Have you been through a hurricane before up here?
I think since I've been on board, we've had some flooding, but nothing of this degree, no.
What are you expecting? What have the meteorologists telling you, or what do you know about the amount of water that's already in the ground or up here? What do you expect will happen?
Well, we had yesterday the word that was coming out of the conference call was that Greene County was going to get anywhere between 8 to 12 inches of rain. As of today, we were told that it was going to be anywhere from 5 to 7 inches of rain, with the winds running between 42 to 50 miles per hour. And obviously, maybe the storm seems to be shifting a little bit to the right, toward the east. And we have another conference call taking place tomorrow morning. And after that, we'll be making any type of adjustments that we have to make to be better prepared.
So with that type of water expected, I'm guessing Coxsackie's going to flood, and Haynes, like places that often flood, are probably going to see that same kind of flooding?
Well, we normally have about 18 roads throughout the county that flood when we hit around 4 to 5 inches. So I think it'll be, if we stay with that number, I feel very comfortable that we'll be going through a normal situation. The other that I would like to also state is I've been working today with the American Red Cross, and they have their people on standby in case of any need for us to move forward in regard to opening up any shelters. The town of New Baltimore, they have moved forward, and I got notice today that the Midway Grapeville Fire Station and also New Baltimore Fire Station will be opening up roughly on Sunday morning around 8:30 for sheltering for any of their residents in their town as well.
Is Copaic Town Supervisor Reggie Crowley?
Well, I just got off the phone about 20 minutes ago with the 911 director. And what it's looking like for us now is the rain is probably going to start Saturday night as a light rain, and it's going to pick up in intensity Saturday night through Sunday. They're predicting right now 5 to 7 inches of rain for our area, sustained winds of 40 miles an hour with gusts of up to 60 miles an hour. The peak impact of the storm we will probably feel from mid-Sunday through Sunday night. There is a flood watch in effect for Columbia County from Saturday through Sunday night, from late Saturday through Sunday night. You know, this is subject to change because it depends on the track of the storm, but that's the latest update I've gotten from 9.
More than 12 inches of rain fell in parts of Greene County, and with the already saturated ground, left nowhere for that water to go but down into the valleys, into the streams, into the rivers, and eventually into the Schoharie Creek, into the Delaware River, and the towns along those paths were affected incredibly by those storms. As the first rain began to fall Saturday, August 27th, myself and Philip Grant began reporting during the storm.
This is a Hurricane Irene update from WGXC 90.7 FM. The New York State Emergency Management Office is staffed up and ready for Hurricane Irene. There are more than 40 state agencies working from the safety of the state's underground emergency operations center to coordinate response efforts. Emergency managers are asking New Yorkers to do their part as well by stocking up on supplies ahead of the storm and heeding all weather warnings. The Thruway Authority is also getting ready to handle any impacts from Irene. Governor Andrew M. Cuomo announced that President Obama has granted his request for a federal emergency declaration. This declaration will enable the federal government to provide assistance and resources to New York State and local governments to support activities related to the evacuation, sheltering, and other protective measures. Maintenance crews are deploying debris removal equipment, tested emergency generators at key buildings, and topping off tanks at travel plazas to ensure drivers and emergency personnel don't run out of fuel. Fares and tolls have also been suspended for most bridges and tunnels and the New York City transit system. The New York State Bridge Authority has announced a potential closure of the Rip Van Winkle Bridge should Hurricane Irene's winds reach 60 miles an hour in this area. The advisory states that if winds gust up to more than 40 miles an hour, box trucks, tractor trailers, and other high-profile vehicles will be restricted. The Bridge Authority will also close its bridges if winds increase to a sustained 60 miles an hour. That determination will be made on a bridge-by-bridge basis. A state of emergency has been declared for the County of Columbia from 2 p.m. today through 5 p.m. on Monday. The state of emergency has been declared for preparedness and emergency conditions produced by heavy rains and winds causing hazardous conditions. There is to be no unnecessary travel during this time period except for emergency services and highway road personnel. In transit, Amtrak has announced the cancellation of all service for Saturday and Sunday. The Port Authority of New York and New Jersey said that the five main New York area airports are closed to arriving flights as of noon today. The suspension affects John F. Kennedy International and LaGuardia Airports in New York City, Stewart International in the city's northern suburbs, and Newark Liberty International in Teterboro, New Jersey. We'll have more storm details as they come in. This has been a hurricane update from WGXC 90.7 FM.
Blow, wind, blow, wherever you may go, blow on your coat, take me away.
This is a WGXC 90.7 Hurricane Irene update. A tropical storm warning is now in effect for Greene and Columbia County. Flood watch is in effect for all of the eastern New York and western New England. Please listen closely for any flood warnings that might be in effect for your area. Rain will overspread the area this evening and will become heavy overnight into Sunday. Tropical storm force winds in excess of 40 miles an hour will arrive during the morning hours on Sunday. Winds in excess of 40 miles an hour will continue much of Sunday with gusts up to 70 miles per hour possible, along with wind-driven heavy rains. The strong winds and heavy rains will lead to downed trees and power lines, with scattered to numerous power outages possible. In addition, moderate to major flooding of main stem rivers and many smaller streams as possible. There will also likely be urban and poor drainage flooding as well as extensive ponding of waters on roads and open fields. Now is the time to rush to completion of preparations for the protection of life and property. Evacuate if directed to do so by local officials or if your home is vulnerable to high winds or flooding. It is important to actively listen for forthcoming information from your local National Weather Service office and emergency management agency. The next local statement will be issued by the National Weather Service in Albany around 12 a.m. or sooner if conditions warrant.
Weather Service in Albany has issued a flash flood warning for Greene County and East Central New York. This includes the cities of Hunter, Catskill, Ulster County and East Central New York. This includes the cities of Salisbury, New Paltz, Kingston, Ellenville until 8:15 a.m. Eastern Daylight Time. at 2:09 a.m. Eastern Daylight Time. National Weather Service Doppler radar indicated flash flooding from bands of heavy rain with embedded thunderstorms associated with Hurricane Irene. Locations in the warning include but are not limited to North South Lake Campground, New Baltimore, Windham, Prattville, Cooksack, and Athens. Additional rainfall amounts of 2 to 4 inches are possible in the warned area through 8 a.m. Be especially cautious at night when it is harder to recognize the dangers of flooding. The flash flooding is observed back quickly. Move up to higher ground to escape flood waters. Do not stay in areas subject to flooding when water begins rising.
We're live. It's 1:25 a.m. Over at the Watershed Post, Lissa Harris has a report from Art Snyder, the Ulster County Emergency Services chief, who says the tropical storm warning continues. There's an isolated threat of tornadoes, major to record flooding expected. A slight westward movement of the storm has been noted. Westward movement, more towards us, apparently. An additional shelter has been established at the Kirkcozen Firehouse. Emergency sheltering is also available at the Town of Rochester Firehouse as an ambulance building. New Paltz has declared a state of emergency. There's that. Okay, and then, Bruce Griscoff, I think, in Ghent is reporting it's pouring, and as we just heard here in Cairo, it is pouring too. So you're listening to WGXC 90.7 FM, your community station, reporting on the current track of the hurricane and the storm, and see if there's anything else before we go new to tell you about. But you can go to the WGXC newsroom at newsroom.wgxc.org, and you'll see all kinds of new information to click on. We're partnering with the Watershed Post tonight. They have set up a live blog. The folks at the Daily Freeman and the Daily Mail are contributing to that, so you can get live reports from all over the region at the newsroom.wgxc.org. You're listening to WGXC 90.7 FM live from Accra.
Yeah, all right. I'm gonna ride with the flood tonight. Yeah, all right. We're gonna uncap the flood tonight.
And then at 7:50 a.m. on Sunday, August 28th, during Chris Lawler's Challenging Christianity show, WGXC lost power as electricity went out in the Cairo area, and WGXC remained off the air for 2 days until power was restored in Cairo, where our transmitter is on County Route 67. This is what it sounded like as we went off the air.
We have the answer in Jesus Christ. With a right view of Jesus Christ, that is. You know, what is the meaning of this life? The Bible says that it's to glorify God, but how do we do that? Because we always fall short. And so I'm talking about these things because I want to be transparent. I want to let you know what's on my heart, and these things are bothering me. I can't pretend that everything is all right, because it's not. And that when this comes out and we see that it's not all right, then what is exposed as our hypocrisy by pretending everything's all right.
He was off the air for 2 days until Tuesday, August 30th. And in the meantime, the Watershed Post live blog, and especially on Sunday, August 28th, during the day after the storm passed, Facebook became the main way that folks shared information about what was going on after the storm, especially with little electricity, but internet service spotty. And in some places there was electricity, and other places there wasn't. It was one neighborhood had some, one neighborhood didn't. One neighborhood got hit with a flood, the next got relatively untouched.
It's me, Tom Rowe, and you're listening to WGXC 90.7 FM. The electricity is back in the part of Cairo that our transmitter is on, and so our transmitter is back on the air on 90.7 FM. I'm not sure what that noise was, but we're going to come to you with almost nonstop coverage of what is
the flood recovery efforts. But we have lots of other news. Okay, the main headline right at this moment is that as of a few minutes ago, Route 23A in Catterskill Cove between Palinville and Haynes Falls has been closed again. Last night it had been open. One lane had been open to traffic, and that is no longer the case.
That noise.
One lane.
Meant and someone posted something new to the Watershed Post Live blog, a collaborative live posting system simultaneously on the websites of the Watershed Post, WGXC, the Daily Freeman, and other websites, aggregating all coverage on a minute-by-minute basis of what was going on during the height of the storm and the immediate aftermath. WGXC's Dharma Daily interviewed the Watershed Post's Andrea Girolamo.
Tell me your name.
Andrea Girolamo. As I am the managing editor of the Watershed Post. Ran this live blog that the Watershed Post began, that started on the 27th of August. It started on the Saturday before the storm, because they sensed then it was going to be a big one and then it was going to hit us. And that was sort of the first indication that anybody had that it wasn't going to be downstate that was going to take the brunt of it, that it was going to be up here, which just never really entered anybody's minds, I think, in a serious way. So they started this live blog to keep people up to date on what was happening, you know, literally town by town, road by road. And I got involved with this because we had just moved here from Long Island. We loved the Catskills. We were actually getting married in the Catskills at the time, in September, like 2 weeks after Hurricane Irene, we were scheduled to have our wedding. And it was like the closing weeks. And because we were so involved with the region, just from a recreation standpoint, I read the Watershed Post every day, I'd say. It's always been our dream to live on that side of the river rather than this side of the river, but my husband works here, so that's how we ended up here. So the day of the storm, I would say I started paying more attention in about maybe noon, 1 o'clock, I really started to understand what was happening.
On the 28th?
On the 28th. Because it was really light here. I can show you some pictures of the damage we had here. It was nothing in comparison. We had flooding at the dock because, the Hudson rose, and we had some damage there and a lot of debris. And they shut, they shut a road. They shut 9, I guess it's 9G, was shut. You couldn't get out of town that way. But it really wasn't bad, and so we didn't have a sense of what was happening. The only way we knew what was happening was through the Watershed Post and the pictures that people were sending, the videos they were making, and this live blog. They needed moderators. They put out like a call. It was just the two of them. I was their first employee.
They put out a call for people to moderate.
The BGXC Sarah Kendall talked with Dharma Daily about the community station's collaboration with the Watershed Post and how it used other social media to report on the storm.
And so we had the live blog that was happening at the Watershed Post live on our newsroom website, so if people looked towards us for information, they could see that going on. The questions that we were getting here had to do with road closures and people interested in helping and people who were trying to figure out how to get around. But it was totally the first time I've ever understood the value of Twitter. Mm-hmm. And I think I had a Twitter page open for those few days that we were off the air, and beyond, just like it was the first time I really actually understood how it worked and why it has some value. And then when we did get back on the air, because we had missed that on-air time when the information that was really important had to do with like getting people to safety and really connecting essential emergency information to people, by the time we were on the air, that wasn't the sort of primary coverage going on. It was more relief efforts, connecting people who needed things with people who were coordinating to people who were trying to figure out how to help. So being some communications infrastructure around relief, and then also trying to just keep information alive about what was going on because everybody had millions of questions. But then trying to actually really start a conversation that was a little bit more in depth about what does this mean moving forward in this area here. And that's something that I was really interested in, how we could, since we couldn't be that kind of emergency broadcast entity, how we could be facilitating a conversation or helping to facilitate a conversation that had to do with some long-term thinking about how we recover from this kind of thing and how we learn from it.
In later parts of WGXC's series After the Flood, we'll focus on what the flood meant to our area, the long-term effects on agriculture, and how emergency communications could be improved. Tune in all week to WGXC's coverage After the Flood, a year anniversary of the storms surrounding Hurricane Irene and their devastating effects on WGXC listening area.
Young boy, you. She told me that you was too young. I wish the Lord that I never seen your face. I'm sorry, you was born.
The preceding show was produced by Free 103.9 at the WGXC Studios in New York.